Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Snowline Gold, traded on the CSE under the symbol SGD and on the OTCQB under the symbol SNWGF. We are chatting with the CEO, Scott Birdall. Now, Snowline Gold is a Yukon-focused gold explorer. The company has 7 properties. Initially, just last year, I believe, we were hearing about the Einerson project and that Jupiter discovery. But more recently, this year, a lot of news has come out of the Rogue property, especially this Valley Zone. There's also the Gracie target that is at this Rogue property. We're recapping a November 15th news release that released 2 holes, hole 7 and hole 14 from this Valley Zone. Headline number from hole 14 being 2.5 grams per ton gold over 128 meters from surface. This is within 285 meters of 1.4 grams per ton gold. This is also a step out from the previous drilling of about 160 meters. Scott, first and foremost, take us through what these 2 drill holes are telling you, big picture, about this system at the Valley Zone, please.
Well, that sounds good. And thanks for having me on, Corey. The big takeaway for us getting these assay results back is just confirmation of the scale, not to mention the grade, of course. But the scale of the system is taking shape. With each hole that we get back in this central part of the valley intrusion, we're seeing good continuity within holes, and now we're seeing good continuity between holes, and we're seeing grades that are pretty unprecedented for this kind of a system, where we have in excess of 1 gram per ton, commonly in excess of 2 grams per ton over hundreds of meters. In systems that are the rule of thumb is always kind of, you know, 1 gram or less for Fort Knox style gold system. So they tend to work based on good metallurgy and good mining orientations where they exist, and certainly at Valley, the setup is pretty amenable to extraction with a low strip ratio. I mean, pretty preliminary at this point, but it's in the middle of a big, broad, flat valley bottom. And so, you know, these latest 2 holes are, well, actually, hole 7, we'd released the top 2/3 of that before. We got it back and it was too material not to just sit on while we waited for the bottom third of the hole. Yeah, we finally have that bottom third, and that hole is 410 meters mineralized from top to bottom, averaging 1.89 grams per ton. And at the top of the hole, there is near the top of the hole anyway, there's a stretch of about 145 meters grading. I think it was 3.4 grams per ton gold. So really good mineralization. And then this hole 14 is 160 meters, give or take, from the collar of hole 7. It tests that same well-mineralized zone up its surface and farther along the width of it as well. And it returned the numbers that you mentioned there. So it shows a lot of continuity there. And these are hole 14 is another 160, 165 meters from hole 10, which returned 2.5 grams per ton over, I believe it was 319 meters from surface, with the top 108 meters of that hole returning 4.1 grams per ton gold. So ultimately, it's a big volume of rock that is well mineralized at grades that are above average for this kind of system, well above average, like multiples of what you'd expect to see, and our best grades are right at surface. So it's really shaping up to be an ideal scenario.
Well, Scott, you summed it up well there. I mean, think about the dynamics at play here. You're stepping out 150, 160 meters and still hitting pay dirt, but it's starting at surface and it's a lot higher grade than most of the system is known for. But it also goes pretty far down in depth, 400 to almost 500 meters in depth. You've got a cross section map here that we will post along with this interview. And I guess just walk people through, sometimes it's hard for retail investors or even institutional investors to put their mind around a 3D deposit. But when you look at that cross section, you can just see how deep some of these are and you can see how far you're stepping out. Give people a sense of the scale of this.
So I put that little, you'll see in the cross section, a little Eiffel Tower. I felt a little promotional putting there in the first place, but then I realized, you know, it's not an exaggeration. That is the size of the Eiffel Tower, and that is the size of the system. And it really is helpful for me also just to get my head around exactly how big of a system we're dealing with and how deep this mineralization goes. And again, the location in a flat valley bottom really helps because you could get quite deep before you'd have to start pushing pit walls back into mountainsides on either side. And so yeah, I think that looking at it in that context where you have a 330 meter to the top of the needle Eiffel Tower alongside these holes where we're drilling 400 more meters of mineralization is, it really kind of adds something beyond just the numbers. And that's not the deepest that we've seen mineralization so far. That's the deepest. Hole seven is the deepest that we've received assay results for. But on other holes like hole 29, hole 33, we've gone a lot deeper. And in hole 29, well, actually, at both those holes, we're seeing visible gold mineralization at depths of 500 plus meters. I think the deepest is 562 meters below surface vertically that we've seen VG. So it's well mineralized to great depths, or at least mineralized to great depths. We'll see what those assays come back with. And then we've seen the same characteristic veins without the obvious VG, but nonetheless, veins with bismuthinite all the way down to the deepest that we've drilled so far, which is in excess of 700 meters vertically below surface. So it does seem to be a big system shaping up. And one thing, in some of these deposits, when you're looking at, say, the typical subgram, like a 0.6 gram per ton system that goes to depth, and you see that at Fort Knox, you see like a kilometer of vertical mineralization there, give or take. And you see that at Eagle here in the Yukon as well, Victoria Gold's mine, where they've drilled down and they have holes going 800 or more meters below surface with grades like that of 0.6 grams per ton. But I think that, if we're able to extend grades like we're seeing in our core zone so far at, gram, 2 gram plus over or down to those depths, then I think it becomes a lot less academic and a lot more practical that, okay, well, this is a big volume of rock. And if you're carrying 2 grams down at 700 meters, then, you might be able to do something in terms of bulk underground methods to get that out profitably. So, yeah, so the scale has us really excited, or really excited, whether or not we can ultimately extract those ounces at depth, we'll see. But it's good to have a big system.
So one thing to note from that cross section where that Eiffel Tower is shown, a lot of those holes are still to be released. Those are those light green dots, but they clearly are carrying some gold because of all that VG that you are seeing. Moving on to that next almost plan map here where it shows where all the drill holes are. As I mentioned, there's still a lot of drilling to come. The news release says a little over 10,000 meters still to be released. That's about 80% of the program. Where are you excited about here, Scott? Outside of these already released good holes, you've spread the drilling out on this valley zone right now. What are you excited about to get some of these results back?
Well, there are a few things. One is seeing what kind of grades, if any, the sort of lower grade halo of the broader valley intrusion carry. And so, I think some of the holes that we've drilled on the peripheries will do a lot in telling, what kind of potential there is outside. And this is maybe rock that would be otherwise gang or waste rock in your pit wall. But if it proves to carry grades, then it could be interesting and could be profitable, even if it doesn't add a huge amount to the total ounces of the deposit. It could add a fair bit to the economics in terms of just your total cost and turning waste rock into ore. So you look at again, looking over the fence at deposits of this type, at Fort Knox in Alaska, they have a cutoff grade of 0.1 grams per ton gold. So anything above that becomes ore and goes on the leach pad, and they're able to extract gold from it. So I'm curious to see how those holes come in from the broader halo, because that will potentially affect things to the upside or not, I guess, depending on how they come back. But then, of course, this core zone, we're still learning a lot about it, and including the scale and the intensity. And so I'm really curious to see holes like 26 out to the southeast, which would give it a lot more of a lateral footprint. Hole 29 really surprised us by how quickly we got into really strong mineralization. So we're hoping that that continues to carry good grades. Hole 33 was a test at down to depth. And there are a lot of others through the core zone. Of course, I'm excited to see any of them. And among those is hole 15, which 14 was a test at surface of the mineralization we hit in seven, and 15 is a test to depth. So that one, we're basically getting through that same zone 200 meters vertically below hole seven. So it'll be really interesting to see how that comes back. And then finally, we drilled within that 10,000 meters remaining are about 2,000 meters at Gracie. And Gracie is another target that we think is similar to Valley, about 4 kilometers to the east. It's another intrusion, should be about the same age. It has the same veins at the same orientation, but we haven't found the actual intrusion yet. So we drilled 5 holes there looking for it. We should be able to use those results to vector towards it, but we did hit visible gold in 4 of the 5 holes. So, you know, pretty nice result for a first pass drill program, but we have yet to receive any assay results. So we'll see if the Hornfels carries grade at all or not, or if we just use it as a vectoring tool to try to find the heart of the system. But, you know, it could always surprise to the upside.
Well, Scott, we'll keep following along to see what happens from some of those drill results at Gracie and to see how that plays into it. But both Gracie and Valley make up this rogue project. And I know a lot of investors have been watching, Scott, with keen interest, the initial drill holes you put in so far. There's still so many that's still released, and it still is early days. But because you're hitting such wide intercepts all the way down to depth from surface, and there's visible gold. There's so much visible gold, it's almost hard to read the plan map because there's so much visible gold on there. But do you think at the end of this drill program, you'd have enough data from Gracie and from Valley to kind of sew it all together into an inferred resource? Or do you think at the end of this drill program, you'd still need a whole other season to continue to infill some of these holes you're drilling right now? How does that all kind of sew together?
I think with the spacings we have right now, we would still need more to infill to get to an inferred resource, but not a ton. And that's the nice thing about these systems is that, you know, you look at the mineralization that we're seeing in these holes, you look at the capping, which gives an idea of the continuity within the holes where you're just getting beautiful runs of mineralization. For example, that in hole 10, that top 108 meters, 72% of the assays along the length of that 108 meters were above 2 grams per ton. So just beautiful, consistent mineralization within and between holes. And that'll go a long way towards wider spacings to get to an inferred resource. But nonetheless, we're not quite there yet. I think that'll, you know, I guess everyone's back of envelope estimate on the system will probably start to converge as we get more and more of these results back, including ours and our internal guesses with the team. But at this point, you know, we'll need more drilling if we are moving towards that inferred resource number.
So, Scott, in your eyes, what moves the needle for the stock moving forward here? Because over the last about two to three months, the stock has mostly moved sideways. Now, we all know how tough the market has been, and moving sideways, not necessarily the worst outcome for a resource company right now. However, look, you have been releasing quite good drill results very consistently. And again, that stock more or less moving sideways right around that $3 level right now. What do you think moves the needle here for the company moving into next year?
Well, I think the biggest one will be just continuing to get results out of the zone like that. And, you know, I think that there still is some hesitancy in the broader market who perhaps aren't following the story as close as some who, you know, are seeing these numbers. And you see numbers like this, not all the time, but it's not uncommon to see, you know, a huge hole come out of a system and only to realize when you dig into it or sometime later that it's kind of drilled right down the guts of the system. And I think that there's a fair bit of that treatment being applied to Snowline at the moment by various market participants. And that's fair enough. But I think that, you know, from what we've seen visually and from the results we have so far with the, you know, holes 10 and 7 and including others like hole 5 and 3 and some of the holes we drilled last year, we're showing that these are not just holes drilled down the guts of the system. This is a big system. We're drilling across it. We're stepping out. We're stepping across. And we're continuing to hit good intervals of good, strong mineralization. So I think that as those come back, that picture will be much easier to see. And of course, you know, the system itself will be de-risked, assuming they come back good. Of course, we need the assays to know for sure. And so yeah, I think that's a big driver, just getting those back envelope numbers to converge, even if we don't have an inferred resource out. And then, you know, we are doing some metallurgical work. So that's another sticking factor and a question that I get a lot is, you know, is this going to work? Can you look at things like Donlin Creek or other assets that, you know, have a little bit more in terms of the requirements for extracting gold from the actual rock once you get out of the ground. And that can add a lot to CapEx. And so there is that hesitation. But, And we do need to do the metallurgical work to know where we stand, but we do have a lot of good indicators to suggest that the metallurgy is going to be fairly cooperative, including, again, looking over the fence at similar deposits where the metallurgy is a big net positive that makes these workable at low grades. And also just in looking at our rocks and seeing the amount of visible gold that we're seeing, that's a lot of gold that'll be gravity extractable or leachable or potentially, worthy of a small circuit to make it work. But we'll have that network done within the coming months, and that should help drive the, or at least de-risk the project further. And then, as I mentioned, we're not holding our breath, but could always surprise to the upside a little bit with Gracie, and we'll see what those numbers come back looking like. But it would be nice to have a hit there. That would make the third hit on the third target that we've drilled, all of which were previously untested. New discoveries and really all in the same broader district that we really launched Snowline to explore. And so I don't think you can ask for too much stronger of a proof of concept in terms of the district potential of this new area. So that'll be I guess, a fourth meta picture, hopefully putting some tailwinds into the stock as we move forward, is just recognizing that these dozens of targets that we put together have some real merit based on the back of these discoveries that we're making.
Well, Scott, let's really quickly just back up the lens a little bit and talk about the district scale potential, because with most of the focus in this interview and even in some previous ones has been at this Rogue project, mostly at Valley, a little bit of action at Gracie. Obviously, it was the Einarsson project that kind of launched the company's interest with the Jupiter discovery, but you still have Mars and Avalanche there, but you have a wealth of other targets. So maybe just speak to, there's so many other targets you haven't even tested yet on this land package.
Yeah, no, exactly. There's a lot out there. It's a whole soup of different targets, really, and different styles of gold targets too. And that was one thing that really caught our eye and caught our conviction in terms of going out here to explore in the first place, was just the diversity of gold targets, showing that you could do a lot of different things to these rocks, and they still seem to want to form gold anomalies, or if not gold deposits. And so that's a very good sign. And the Rogue project itself, it does have Valley and Gracie, of course, but it also covers a cluster of several other intrusions of similar age and size, and with some good gold geochemistry coming off them. So there's a lot left to explore there. Einarsson, as you mentioned, the Jupiter discovery we made last year was an epizonal orogenic gold discovery. Which has us pretty excited. We're basically pumping the brakes a little bit on that one just while we explore Valley, which is has a few more things going for it. And we are sorting out an ownership situation at Einarsson, where we have 70% interest in a non-carried 30% other party on the project. And so we've kind of just been trying to get that sorted out one way or the other before going really full in on those targets again. And then, yeah, the Ursa, Cynthia, really interesting projects. And we recently picked up a large portfolio of projects to the south, basically recognizing the merit of reduced intrusions in this area based on the back of the Valley discovery. There's a company that was just sitting on a whole collection of these reduced intrusions around the same age, same series of intrusion as what we see at Valley. And yeah, so we picked those up and the associated data for about the cost of staking, and we're keen to move on those too. And we haven't been quiet on the rest of the portfolio. We've actually had a very active season out there. We have other targets in the central and southwestern Yukon. We had field teams out on every one of our projects this year, apart from the ground that we've just picked up. And so yeah, it's been a very busy year. Of course, Valley has been grabbing the headlines and the attention, and for good reason. But yeah, we have a lot moving in a lot of different areas, and we hope to be able to kind of continue this track record of going out to test new targets and, hopefully making other big discoveries.
All right, Scott, thank you for this update. I'll post a link to the Snowline Gold website and the news section so you all can read over that full news release. It sounds like there's still a lot of work for you guys to do at this Valley Zone and then on the other projects, the other targets. Still quite early days for this company, but so far, boy, oh boy, you really have captured the market's attention during this pretty tough time for most sectors, especially the resource sector. Scott, thank you very much for your time. Please keep us up to date on future news, and we'll get you back on the show.
All right, will do. Thank you very much, Corey.